Good morning. How's everyone doing? Patty's? Yeah, good. How about the rest of you? Good? I think the kids have all gone into their classrooms, so why don't I just start? I'd like to start by praying first. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your great and amazing love that you have for us. That, Lord, even it doesn't matter whether we're doing what we should or not, but your love for us never fails. It never stops. It's never conditional upon what we do or don't do, which is in itself incredible. But Lord, I pray that this morning you would awaken us in our spirit, in our mind, in our hearts, that your word would do its work in us, that we would feel that we have heard from you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring us new and fresh revelation this morning to know your will and to be able to help us to walk towards you and to live the life that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I'm going to continue in our series of preaches on your inheritance, and I believe it's part 8, but if it's not part 8, it doesn't really matter. It's just, we're continuing in that, and I've labeled it, it's just a thought away. Your inheritance, mine and your inheritance, and I'm not talking about our eternal inheritance. I'm talking about the part of our inheritance that lies in this life that we have here. Is just a thought away. So I'm going to begin with a scripture that we've heard a lot of this past year, not only through the series of inheritance, but also in Metamorphosis. So it's just, I've come to really love this verse, and hopefully you do as well. It's Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, I'm just coming to love this part of Scripture so much because I want so desperately, and maybe I hope that you do as well, to be that transformed person. And to see my mind being renewed by God. Now, what we're talking about here is, in this verse, is allowing God to change us into a new person by changing the way that you and I think. Now, you may ask, why do I have to change the way I think? Well, that's a good question. And to answer that, I just want to remind us that we understand that once we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we begin on our journey of sanctification, right? Now, in case you don't remember what sanctification means, let me tell you. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. For example, a pen is sanctified when it's used to write. Eyeglasses are sanctified when used to improve sight. In the theological sense, things are sanctified when they are used for the purpose God intends. A human being is sanctified, therefore, when he or she lives according to God's design and purpose. So let me start from the beginning again. So do we understand that while we're on this road of sanctification, we're not there yet? It's a process. Because there's a journey of getting to know Jesus in a deeper way so that we can begin to understand the things that God is wanting to do in us. He's wanting to work in our lives and change us. And one of the things that he's wanting to do is change our way of thinking. And the thing to remember is, in all of this, God is never holding anything back. It's usually we're the ones that are doing that. So therefore, there's still a lot of changing, particularly in the area of thinking, that needs to be done in our lives. And it's important because, I don't know about you, because I want to see that verse 2. I want to see evidence of that taking place in my life. I want to live this transformed life. And I understand that it comes by letting God change the way that I think. So one morning last week, it always starts with something that's happened in my life, which is good, because this message is, I believe, not just for you, but very much for me as well. One morning last week, I experienced something that reminded me that my thinking needed some changing. And so it was a normal week, morning, all four of us, Jonathan, Jessica, Janine, and I, were all getting ready either for work or to go to school. And I could feel myself getting a little bit annoyed by something that was going on, and it was causing me to become upset, but I just kind of kept it to myself. But Janine, my beautiful, wonderful wife, being a woman, women are very good at seeing that there's something that's not quite right. If I was in a room of guys, they probably wouldn't have noticed anything. They would have said, "Oh, he's fine." But Janine noticed that something was not quite right. So she said, "Are you all right?" Of course, I said, "I'm fine." A few moments later, she said, "Are you okay?" This time I said, "Well, yeah, there is something, but don't worry. I'm dealing with it." A little bit better. Then about 10 or 15 minutes go by, and I don't remember exactly how long, but it's just this thing would not leave me. And, normally I probably would have just gone on, and I would have tried to deal with it during part of the day. But I just felt that I needed to say something. So I saw Janine. I said, "Okay, you're right. There is something wrong." And I just shared my feelings with her. I didn't do it at her expense or anyone else's expense, but I simply told her what I was feeling. And in the moment, it felt good to just kind of at least get this out. But it wasn't over yet. I got ready, got in my car, and that morning I happened to be working in the west end of the city, which usually takes me about 35, 40 minutes, and I take the ETR. So there's a lot of highway driving, and usually I use that time to pray. So as I prayed, during this time, I felt really frustrated. So as I prayed, I asked God, to help me understand, why did I respond the way that I did in such a negative way when I know that I shouldn't? I was just really frustrated by that, It's like putting my foot, in my mouth again. And the thing is, you realize that sometimes it's not that we don't want to change, but very often it's that we don't know how to change. And so when I asked the Lord, "Can you please help me understand? Why am I doing this? Why am I in this pattern?" I just felt the Lord reveal something to me and downloaded it into my heart and into my mind. And and I was driving, obviously, so I couldn't write anything down. I wanted to grab my phone, but no. I was obedient to the laws of our prophets and decided no. But I hadn't finished driving, and I was still driving. So these thoughts that I'd sort of been downloading were continuing to work in my mind. And I'm thinking about that. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm gaining some new insight about everything, which was actually beginning to go beyond my own personal experience that morning. And I realized, I wonder, I'm probably not the only person that struggles in this area. And I started to think that maybe this is a message, because I knew I was preaching today, that I can share. And it was a great time of just meditating and thinking about what the Lord had revealed. And so I waited until I got to the office, went upstairs, and I'd like to say I instantly wrote down what I had received, but I didn't. But not too far into the morning, I finally realized I needed to do that. And I've come to understand if I don't write those things down, they become fleeting moments that disappear. But I want to share to you what I wrote down, and I try to write it in a way that would help me to remember so that I could then take that, and when I was starting to prepare, be able to stay on track. But this is what I felt the Lord say. He said, there are neurological pathways that are formed in our brains based on our life experiences that can present challenges to living a new and transformed life in Christ. These pathways can affect our ability to live and walk into our inheritance in this life. But with God's strength, our submission, and the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can learn to change our thinking by making choices that line up with His Word and letting the Lord form new neurological pathways in our mind so that we can begin to live the life that He has given us. Because I don't know about you, but that's what I want the Lord to do. That's the work that I want Him to do. And I realize that my part in that is simply that I need to choose and make decisions that allow the Lord to be able to actually do that. And as I was doing some research, I was interested about this. I wrote that, but to be honest, I didn't really know a whole lot about that. So that's why I believe that it's the Lord that kind of did that. But I started doing a little bit of research about trying to find out a little bit more about what that was. And I discovered a video, which I'm going to show. Is my son still there? Yes, he is. Not yet, Jonathan. But a video which shows us how our brain works. And I wanted to show it to you this morning because I believe that it will help us in making changes in our lives. Changes in how we think and in turn how we live, which will encourage us. Because it's important, because you have to remember that a lot of us either never grew up in Christian homes and became Christians later, or maybe we even grew up in Christian homes, but you know what? Sometimes we become so influenced by the culture around us that it shapes our thinking. And so we need to, and those start to become our default methods of assessing situations. And so according to God's word, He wants to renew our minds. And it's interesting. He uses the word renew, which is to make new something again. So obviously it's something that existed before when He made us, but again, there's aspects of the world that have crept in. And so I think it's interesting to just watch this. It's a short little video, but hopefully it'll encourage you that actually it's possible that we can change our thinking. Okay, Johnny, and if you can dim the lights as well.
Has an astonishing 100 billion. The gap between the two brain cells is tiny, but that doesn't mean it's straightforward for a signal to get from one side to the other. For us, it's like crossing a deep ravine.
Oops. Pause.
Cross our V. The first trip across is the hardest.
There we go. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? You may say, well, that's science, Michael. Yeah, it's science discovering something about how God made us, which really excites me, because God created our brains that way. This is about learning how we learn, and what we need to do in order to change and transform and see transformation in our lives. Because I believe that this is a key to walking into our inheritance, because it requires us to have a renewed mind in order to know what God's will for us is. What is good and pleasing. His will, which is good and pleasing. And our thinking has to line up with His word. So I showed that because I think sometimes we have to realize that even though we want to change, we struggle with it. And you can see that, as the video pointed out, you know, it's just this little synapse of separation. But sometimes we become afraid to make that change in our lives. It's like that big gorge or ravine. But we have to remember, we need to choose what we see the Word of God tell us. We need to choose and make right decisions. And as we do that more and more, we see that we develop these other pathways, as it said. I said, God, why did God create us that way? Because in the beginning, when sin wasn't into the world, that was how God designed our brains to learn, so that as we did things in repetition, we would be able to respond instantly. So, for example, you're walking, you see a car coming, you stop. You don't want to have to take 10 seconds to figure out what you should do. I mean, in life too, you're faced with temptations. So God's designed our brains in such a way that they say, stop. I see the temptation, I walk away from it. But what happens is we live so much in the world, and a lot of those experiences that we have are still operating in our lives. And that's the problem. You know, double-mindedness is a real problem if you're living a Christian. If you haven't completely left that old life behind, it becomes problematic. And so we need to realize that God has given us, again, in His Word, is everything that we need for life and godliness. We have to realize that actually God doesn't expect a whole lot from us, but what He does expect is for us to make choices. And hopefully He wants us to make right choices. And once we do that, then look out, God can take that and He can make that work of transformation, that work of changing in our lives. Because again, as I said, I've just shared the other day with a friend, you know, I'm just so tired of not seeing the kind of changes. I read the Word of God and I see God's promises and I say, well, I want those things to be taking place in my life. I want to be the person that He's created me to be, not the person that I have become through my experience and everything. I want to be, in the last 25, 30, 40 years that I have in my life, I want to experience it being the person that God has called me to be. And I trust that all of us are feeling the same way. And as I was thinking and pondering about this, it was like, they said, it was like a light bulb that got lit. And that's why I said, you know, it's just a thought away. It's like in those cartoons, you get an idea and your little light bulb would appear. And it's the same type of thing as when we realize about sometimes the changes and the little adjustments that we make, that we need to make, start as a thought, as an idea. But we need to take that thought and idea and we need to put it actually into action, into place. So what better thing to do than to look at what Scripture says? And it occurred to me, because I happened to be reading Paul's letters to the churches, because I've been trying to get an insight into what did the early church look like, what was going on there. And I realized, again, light bulb going on, which means there's something that I wasn't seeing before that I now see. I suddenly realized as I had read those letters, there's a consistency in what Paul is saying, in what the Word of God is saying. They're encouraging the believers in these different places. But then there's always an instruction that says, you know, but remember, you need to avoid these things. And then at the same time, there's usually then what you need to do in order to help you avoid that. And the reassuring thing was, I was reassured that, you know what, this isn't a modern day problem, because they were having the same issues 2,000 years ago. So let's turn now, this is kind of, Chris will enjoy this, why don't we turn to Colossians 3. We heard that this morning. And let's see what the Bible says about how the Word of God can help us to change our thinking. So I'm going to try this. I know Kevin says if you're there, just say, There we go. Hey, it works. So let's start off in verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So the first thing that we need to remember is, whatever circumstance and situation that we find ourselves, we need to always set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on earthly things, not on the things that we were used to before that. Because you know what? We can be, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but we can be very easily distracted. And in order not to be distracted, we need to be focused, and focused on God's Word. So it says, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. You know, the amazing thing is that when we actually choose to follow Jesus Christ, our hearts and our minds are linked with His. And as we do that, we begin to see the way He thinks, sees what's on His heart. And that helps us to change the patterns in our lives. Another aspect of that is, again, it requires us to be totally submitted to God. In verse 5, the second thing we need to do is put to death, therefore. So what does that mean, put to death? That means kill, eliminate it, get rid of it. So it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in your life, in the life that you once lived. But now you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So you need to get rid of these things in your life. And what's interesting is, I don't know about you, but when I first accepted Jesus Christ, you know, there were some things that seemed a lot more obvious to me to get rid of. You know, I got rid of my 20-year collection of albums. Ouch. And you got rid of other things that seemed obvious, but sometimes the things that you really need also to get rid of are things that are a little bit deeper in, little things that were set, our patterns, our thinking patterns are set a little bit harder and a little bit more rigid. Sometimes they're blind spots that we have. But then it goes on to tell us, where are we here? But now you must also, in verse 8, but now you must also rid yourself of all these things, such as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. So for example, anger, that morning I was feeling angry. I could instead get rid of that feeling and put on joy instead. And you know, when we do that, that's what I think is like that picture, that video that we saw. It's like when we make those kind of choices, I feel an emotion stirring up in me. But I decide, no, I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to rejoice in this situation. I have to remind myself that I'm a blessed husband. I'm a blessed father. God has blessed me in those areas. He's blessed me in so many other areas. I need to concentrate on those. I need to think about those kind of things. If I'm bitter, then I have to decide to allow forgiveness in my heart to come out. Whatever it is that we're feeling, we have to make decisions in our lives to see the opposite thing having an effect in our lives. In verse 10 that said, and then we need to put on this new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Which to me, we have to put it on just like we put on a garment. You know, when we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's almost like we know it, we've heard it, the old is gone. It's almost like if you thought about it in terms of clothes, we've taken these old filthy rags away and we toss them away. We need to put on the new garments that we have in Christ to remember who it is that we are as sons, as Chris said, as sons and daughters of a living and powerful and awesome and loving God, so that we can be renewed in knowledge, in understanding of who Christ is. And when I read that, it says the same thing in Ephesians 4:23 and 24. But it's, to me, it's like when we start to get rid of those things in our lives, it's like all of a sudden, the more we do it, the more it easier that it gets. As we saw in the video, it's difficult to change our thinking, and it requires a lot of effort. And sometimes we make mistakes. You saw when the guy stumbled. That happens. We lose our footing. But the more and more that we do it, the more we reinforced that behavior. And as we continue to think that way, our brain actually begins to develop new pathways to take. And it becomes more effortless, and eventually it replaces those old patterns. And that's what God's wanting us to do in order to be transformed and to see that renewal in our minds. And when we begin to do that, and we get rid of all these things that are getting in the way, then it's almost like being plugged in, reconnected to who Jesus Christ is and to that relationship that he wants for us. Then the second verse, or the second scriptural reference, and you can certainly read Colossians all the way to 16 and 17, and you'll glean all sorts of other things that will be helpful for you to help you to make the right choices in your life. And then Philippians 4, 8 and 9, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And that's the third thing that we need to do. We need to think about these things. As I said before, we need to replace that first impulse that we sometimes have, that a negative emotion, that negative thought, we need to replace it with something that comes out of the heart and out of the mind of God. And the second thing is that we learned as well in the video. In verse 9 it says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," he says, "practice these things." We need to put these things into practice. We need to do it because we understand that the more we do it, the more it becomes habitual. So that the next time something happens, the next time you're faced with making a choice and your tendency was that you would react in this way, you go, "No. See, because my mind is being renewed, I realized," and I said, "No, I'm not going to stay in this place. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to choose instead to rejoice. I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to make a different decision." So that when we're faced with temptation, we're going to be strong enough in the Lord that we'll be able to say, "I'm going to resist that temptation and I'm going to run away from it. I'm going to flee from it." And then as we begin to do that more and more and more, I believe that we'll experience what it is to live this transformed life and to see our mind being changed and our thought patterns being changed by the Lord. Now there's a whole bunch of other scriptures that I certainly encourage you to look at and to read. And you can see them. I'll kind of tell you what they are if you choose to write them down. You can find them in Ephesians 4 and 5, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Timothy 6, and 2 Timothy 3. And just read them in your own time. It'll be very helpful because you'll see actually the things that we need to stay away from, the things that are dangerous for us. And you'll also see very practical things in God's Word, because the Word of God is practical, that will help you to make those changes and adjustments. You see, it's not enough just to know what to do. You actually have to put it into practice. And that's why that morning the biggest thing that I realized was, you know what, I need to choose differently. And I need to be aware that I can choose differently, and I need to be aware that I can actually make changes and adjustments in my life. Because I can't imagine what it must be like to see that scripture actually working in my life. I know that it's a lot better than I can ever imagine. But what we need to remember is verse 1 of that scripture in 12, and I'll read it here. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And essentially, what the Word of God is saying is it's urging us really is to lay our lives down in submission. That's a simple way of describing what that's... Because what it is as we're laying, if we're willing to lay our lives in submission, then God can do this. Then God is able to take us and to transform our lives, change our thinking. But it requires us to submit. It requires that old man, that old part, the former way that we live, to be left alone and to let it die. I mean, Scripture says, let that part of you die, and it needs to die. Because otherwise, as I said, we fight with being double-minded. We embrace Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we're still dragging the world's way and world of thinking. And that's why there's so much confusion often in our lives. You know, we have everything that we need to live a fruitful, prosperous, healthy life. And it's all in here. But if we muddle it up with still dragging in our old life thinking, that we're continually going to be in a place of confusion. And I'll just leave you with one more story. As I was preparing for this message, I just got a picture, which kind of, for me, helps me describe what this process is like. When I was 14 years old, in my family, we had to start working at 14, which is a good thing. I didn't think so at the time. But my dad had a construction company, so that's where I worked. And so with the first money that I raised, the first thing I wanted to do was buy a stereo. Because I had this collection of albums, which I threw away, that I wanted to play on. But I got a picture of what happens. If you can imagine yourself as that stereo with a, you know, with a turntable and everything else. And that's a picture of what we were in the beginning. And then sin entered in to the world. And to me, it's like the plug in the stereo was unplugged out of the wall, no longer connected to the power source. And it just sat there and did nothing. And someone discovered it one day and came and found it, didn't know quite what to do with it. Nothing was happening because it's not connected. Went to the turntable and saw that it spun. Saw the needle, thank you. Saw the needle, put the needle on there, spun it, and it started to make a noise. Not necessarily a pleasant noise, but it was making a noise, but probably very fascinating. And then I'm imagining, I never did this, but I'm imagining if I put my ear there, I might actually be able to hear some sound as it really was. And what I forgot to mention was on the platter, what actually was Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. So you probably put your ear there and probably hear something, but it doesn't resemble anything like what it's supposed to be. And you know what? That's what our life is like when we're disconnected from God. That's the life that we've come from, but it's not the life that we're in right now. And when that scripture, and I'll read it again in Colossians, when we put on this, on our new self, which is being renewed, remember, it's being renewed, it's restoring something that already existed. That's the fascinating thing about it. It's renewing us in knowledge, in the understanding of who God is. It's restoring that connection. So that when we actually begin to get reconnected the way we were made to be, getting rid of all the junk in our lives that all it does is confuse us. And begin making the right decisions and following Jesus and allowing Him to do this work in us. It's like the plug goes, and if you can imagine, all you audiophiles, the plug goes back into the power source. It gets connected again. The lights go on. The turntable starts spinning. And the pin is hanging there, and you go and you just drop that little lever, which drops it down ever so slowly. And you hear this incredible, amazing symphony. This music which just grips to the heart of you. It's powerful. And if Beethoven doesn't do it for you, then just pick your favorite song or whatever it is in terms of... And that's, to me, a picture of what God wants for us. What we hopefully desire so much. We want to remember that what sanctifying is, it's doing, it's getting to the place of living the way God designed us to live. Not in this world which is full of confusion, which purports to know the truth but has no idea who He is, who tries in the best efforts to do things, but ultimately it's just a flash in the pan. You know, sometimes I wonder, why, Lord, do the wicked seem to do so well? I know lots of un-Christians, they're very successful, really good at what they do. The one advantage they have is that, first of all, they're not double-minded. Yeah. So when you're single-minded, you know what the rules are, and you go for them. And that's what happens. But you know what? Their life is like what are those, wick that's about this short. And you light it up, and in 5 seconds, it's gone, it's burnt out. Because that's what it is. We're talking about a life that's not just eternal, but a life where God wants us to enjoy the inheritance that He has for us. And it's only to be discovered in, as Dominic spoke to the men yesterday, in walking into it. And the only way you can walk into it is by allowing God to do these changes, to see your life being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you begin to understand the plans and purposes God has, as you grow in your relationship, as you become more intimate and you begin to know Him in such a deep, profound way that it changes everything. The things that we thought were important, we just push them aside now. And we can begin to enjoy this life, and we can begin to enjoy the inheritance that He has for us. Because sometimes, you know, we have a misguided or a very one-dimensional idea of what an inheritance is. We think maybe God is going to come with His chest and lay it at our feet. And it's this wonderful thing, and it may have golds or jewels or whatever you may have. Or you may think that it's something that's like when a parent or a family member dies and you're sitting in a lawyer's room and he's reading the will, and then after that he hands you a check in an envelope. But our inheritance in Christ is not like that. It's one that we experience as we begin to live the way He's made us to live. That's where we experience that inheritance. And if we don't make the right choices, we won't experience the fullness of what that inheritance is.